Would you please pray with me? Oh Lord Jesus, we call upon you, the risen one, the one who has conquered death and who now reaches out to us to draw us into life, ever deeper into your life, into your peace, into your joy and your victory. So we pray now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would minister to us through your word, that you would speak to us where each of us are and minister to us of your love and your care and your desire for us to come to you. We ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy Easter. We come today to celebrate the best news in the history of the world, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. All of our faith is about this good news. And when we say news, news is the fact, a report of something that happened. News is not a philosophy. It is not good advice for living. It is not a way to maximize your potential. News is saying, this thing happened, and here's why it matters. Here, we have an event, a hinge point in history, a monumental shift in the tectonic plates of time and creation. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We believe that this really, truly happened. 2,000 years ago, this man who actually lived, actually died, was buried, and then 3 days later came back to life. And this is the foundation for the entirety of the Christian faith. We're not just talking about a spiritual resurrection or a resurrection in our hearts, like a metaphor, but Jesus physically, bodily, was raised from the dead. This is the news of what happened on that first Easter morning, and it is good news for us. And what I want to propose to us this morning is that how we respond to this news will shape our lives. How we respond to this news, whether we believe it or not, will shape our lives, because what we believe shapes our lives, defines our lives. All of us believe in something. There's no such thing as a non-believer. When people say, I don't believe in that, what they're saying is that I believe in something else more strongly. So, to not believe the news about someone rising from the dead is simply to say, I believe that people do not rise from the dead more strongly. These beliefs that we hold, whatever your belief system is, whatever you hold most dear that shapes you, these are the things that define our lives. These are the beliefs that we build based on our knowledge, based on our experiences, and the weight we give to the evidence we see, the weight we give to the news that we hear. Easter is going to challenge our beliefs. And in that challenge, Easter is going to confront us with a choice. When confronted with the resurrection of Jesus, we have two choices. We can either dismiss it or rejoice in it. We can shrug it off, or we can run to meet it. We're going to encounter these two choices in our gospel reading in the book of Luke, chapter 24. And as we come to this reading, on this first Easter morning, those faithful and holy women have gone to the tomb that early Sunday morning, and they did not find what they expected to find. The stone was rolled away. The tomb is empty. And angelic messengers are sharing the news that changes the world. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. And these women, they go, they run and tell the other disciples. And here, in this sharing of news, we get a picture of this choice. I'm going to read for us verses 11 and 12 of our passage. The women come to the other apostles and share the news. Verse 11 says, "But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened." So some disciples dismissed this news outright. But Peter got up and ran to see it for himself. So the resurrection of Jesus is either a myth we can dismiss or not bother ourselves with, or it means that Jesus is Lord of all. So let's look at both of these responses in turn. First, the dismissive response from most of the disciples. When these women came to the disciples with the best news of all time, these men did not believe them. It says, these words seemed to them an idle tale. It sounded like nonsense, or gibberish, or, as my kids might say, pretty sus. They were dismissive of this news, not because they were women. These disciples knew these women. They had been with Jesus together for years. It wasn't because of the messengers. It was because the message seemed too outlandish, too unthinkable. It's like if I brought you news that the sky suddenly turned green, or that down was up and up was down. If I came to you and told you, guess what? All of a sudden, there are now 37 hours in a day. You would dismiss me pretty quickly, and rightly so. Because for the apostles, it was just too obvious. Death has such a finality that cannot be overcome. It is fruitless to entertain the possibility of resurrection. Everyone knows that dead people stay dead. They don't come back to life again. The ancients knew this just as much as we do today. With all of our scientific advancements and knowledge, they knew exactly the same truth that we do, that death is final and cannot be undone. All of our experience, logic, science, all things prove this as a maxim. Death is the only certainty of life. And so this is a belief system. Based on all the evidence we see around us, this is a core, deeply held belief that shapes us. For these apostles, Jesus was dead. And the sooner they came to grips with that through their grief, the better. Because you can't go about life in denial of reality. It's no use entertaining fantasies to try to make ourselves feel better. Perhaps this was the mindset they were in. So when these women come with this incredible news, it really did seem incredible. That is, not credible. And so they did not believe. Their belief in the finality of death was stronger than their belief in the possibility of resurrection. And so they dismissed it. There are many in our world today who dismiss the possibility of Jesus' resurrection outright, not even willing to consider the evidence, which the evidence is actually really substantial, that Jesus really did rise from the dead. But many people don't even want to consider that or take the time to entertain, but outright reject the possibility because it seems too outlandish. It seems like a fantasy, a fairy tale. Because we know what we know, what we know. Dead people stay dead. And many of us, perhaps, live our lives not necessarily against the idea of Jesus' resurrection, but maybe just dismissive of it, shrugging it off. Whether it happened or not, it doesn't really matter to my life. It was a long time ago. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Tomato, tomato. Let's just focus on being a good person and living my life the best I can. That's all Jesus would really want for me anyways, right? It's easy to dismiss something that seems so far off, so distant, as not relevant to my life. But Jesus didn't really leave that option open for us. If he was raised from the dead, that means that the finality of death has been broken. It means that death has been overcome, and the possibility of life after death is opened to us now. If death is the only certainty for every human in all of creation, then surely this resurrection and the momentous shift it is in the cosmic order of things changes everything. It means that death has now lost its sting. Death has now lost its final victory. If it can be overcome, if it has been overcome, it changes everything. How can we dismiss this? How can we possibly look at a man rising from the dead and shrug our shoulders? If we're going to be honest with ourselves and honestly look at the evidence of Jesus' resurrection and come to the conclusion that it did happen, it can't not change everything. Jesus does not allow indifference to be an option. And if you want to hear more about the piles of evidence for the resurrection that I don't have time to go into here, I would love to buy you a cup of coffee and talk through that with you. It is really hard when looking at all of the mountains of evidence that say, that point toward the fact that Jesus really rose from the dead, and to come to the conclusion that no, he didn't. The best that a lot of people can do is just shrug it off. Jesus doesn't allow indifference to be an option. The resurrection changed things so profoundly that indifference is not an option for us. But we look to Peter for another response. Verse 12 says that at the news, Peter rose and ran to the tomb. While the other disciples dismissed the news as absurd, something different was happening inside of Peter. Hope was kindled in his soul, and so he got up and he ran to that tomb. He dared to believe that there was the possibility of hope. Perhaps he was remembering Jesus' prophetic words that he was going to rise after 3 days, 3 days after being killed. Perhaps he did remember how Jesus himself healed people and raised the dead. Perhaps Peter was just desperate for some hope, some light, some grace to pull him out of that dark place of grief he was in. But whatever it was, something stirred in Peter, and he rose and ran to that tomb to see for himself. And he saw that tomb empty, the linen burial cloths without a corpse to cover, and he marveled at this that had happened. Peter is clear in his mind that something has happened, worthy of our marveling at, worthy of our wonder, worthy of our awe and our joy. But Peter saw it. He experienced it. And because he heard the news, he rose and he ran. His response was different. The resurrection of Jesus changed the world, and Peter rose to meet it. A new cosmic order has been established where the way of everlasting life is opened. A new reality is established. Peter finds that what has happened is that Jesus is alive. Death has been overcome, and hope floods the world. What's more, we are told in Scripture that Jesus' death was for the sake of our sins, his rising for the sake of our justification. That means because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, our sins can be forgiven. We can be made right with God. We can be made new because of what he has done. He has made the way for us to have eternal life with God. And even to know that eternal and abundant life here and now. Because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, in the words of J.R.R. Tolkien, everything sad is coming untrue. Hallelujah. Peter's life was changed because he dared to believe, dared to hope, dared to fully commit himself to this good news by running to meet it. And when he finally met the Lord, the one who had died and been buried and who had risen again, Peter fell down at his feet and worshiped. Peter ended up giving his life for this risen Savior, as a martyr for the truth and the cause of Christ. This truth, this new reality, this profound belief of Peter's was of such profound importance to him that it far outweighed the importance of his own life. It was worth giving everything for. In the light of the resurrection of Jesus, the choice that Jesus now holds out to us is to rise and run to him, to be stirred to hope, to be set on fire with a purpose, something to aim our lives toward, his glory, his life, his resurrection, to let our lives be defined and shaped by believing this good news. When it says Peter rose, the Greek word there for rose is the same word that's used for Jesus rising. As Jesus rose from the dead, so Peter rose in his spirit into the hope of resurrection. Something in him was stirred and brought to life that was previously dead. The Scripture says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now in us who believe in him. So to rise in this way is to let our hearts come to life, to be set on fire, to be consumed with a deep sense of purpose that drives our lives in a direction. To rise in this way is to rise out of a spiritual slumber, a spiritual death, out of indifference, out of apathy, and to run toward that purpose for which you were made. Because when Peter rose, he then ran to that tomb. He fully committed himself to seeking out that glorious hope, and he went all in for the risen Lord Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, my friends, what is your life running toward? What makes you rise up in your heart and get your feet moving? What gives your life purpose and worth? Another way of asking this is, what do you believe? And how is it shaping you? the core beliefs of your life, the truths that you believe and that shape you so deeply that maybe you don't even recognize them. Toward what are those beliefs driving you? If your beliefs, if the deeply held trusts of your life are driving you toward an end that you don't want to go toward, you can turn around. The Bible calls this repentance. And repentance starts with, what do you believe? How are you responding to this news of what happened? Let me give my encouragement this morning to all of us. Dare to believe in the risen Jesus. Believe that he rose 2,000 years ago, that he is alive today and calling to you. Rise and live. Rise and run to him. The hope that he brings, the eternal life that he offers, the joy that is found only in him is worth far more than anything else our lives can be aiming toward and running toward. Jesus, the one who did conquer death and now reigns over all, is worth more than we can ever imagine. And the Bible says that to know him, to be with him, is of such surpassing worth that everything else is counted as loss. Would you rise and run to him today? Because the resurrection changes everything, and it is worth giving everything for. Peter recognized that. And the Lord is inviting us to recognize it as well. If Jesus did rise from the dead, it's nothing to shrug at. It's not something we can dismiss as an idle tale. The late pastor and author Tim Keller put it this way. If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept everything that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. This is the good news that we proclaim this morning and every day, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And we must let this truth confront us and challenge our beliefs and shape our lives. And when we let this truth change us, we will find ourselves rising with Christ, living with deeper purpose, running toward his glory and our greatest good. And when we rise with Jesus and make our lives ones that run toward him, our whole lives will be one great alleluia. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.